For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So writes Paul in his letter to the Romans. And it may sound a bit dramatic, but that's Paul. Paul likes being dramatic and provocative in order to make a point that won't get lost when read aloud later to a group of people he cannot see face to face. But that line may also relate to one's own experience, particularly about 3 weeks after making one's New Year's resolution to work out every day, eat only healthy food, or to stop losing one's temper with one's children. One sets out with robust resolutions and good intentions, following through with a certain gusto. One buys the new workout gear or the gym membership or subscribes to the local co-op for organic produce. And for a week or so, one kills it. Endorphins kick in. There's a lot to feel proud of. One suddenly has more energy than ever before. And then, at some point, one starts hitting the snooze button again. Spending time chopping vegetables starts to feel onerous. One knows that exercise results in more energy, but one chooses the couch instead, and then curses oneself on the way to bed after too many hours in front of the TV. The effort to cease losing one's temper with one's children may not last as long as the exercise regime. Fewer endorphins come from biting one's own tongue and practicing patience. A few weeks back, I preached on the ache we can feel when we discover that we have not achieved the level of personal transformation that we had expected to see by now. And I shared my perspective that this ache can be an invitation to sit at the table with Jesus, to receive the radical hospitality that Jesus offers, not once we have become worthy of it, but precisely when we are most in need of it for our own healing and renewal. And now I want to take a closer look at that inner dynamic of wanting to do one thing and doing something else. When this happens, it can be discouraging, confusing, and downright depressing. It can cause us to pull away from others, from church, and from God, exactly at the moment when we could really use all three of those. How might we look at this inner dynamic with some compassion? Let me share a confession from my own life. Sometimes I struggle in group learning situations. I get bored, or get impatient with others, or I find that someone's point doesn't make any sense, and then I feel judgmental. Or the group is given a task, but people start making suggestions that don't really have anything to do with the task, and I find that really frustrating. I begin feeling more and more critical of the others in my mind, even while I'm trying to disagree nicely or gently get us back on track. And I start to feel mean and not very likable. This happened to me very recently when I was attending the College for Congregational Development, and we were put into working teams. The first session went really well. But later that day, when we met again and were given a task, I pointed out to someone that he was making an assumption that didn't align with the scenario that we had been given. Later, someone else suggested an approach and I shared that I wasn't sure how that related to the task, and she and others insisted that it did, and I let it go. Although inwardly, I did not let it go. The next day was even worse. During a debrief session, everyone talked on top of each other. We spent too much time on one part of the task and weren't able to get to the really important part. And no one acknowledged the really insightful things I had to say. There is a part of me, kind of like a little person inside, who is really invested in seeing things other people don't see, of standing out in some way. She resists blending in with others on the team. And there is this other little person inside who gets overstimulated when people are talking at the same time. And she just really wants things to progress at an orderly and calm pace. And she tries to impose order if the group feels unwieldy. If others aren't responsive to that, she gets really irritated and pulls back and starts to judge. Those two parts of me tend to piggyback off of each other, reinforcing each other. But then there is this other part at work, too. There is a super earnest part who wants to be a good Christian and who is afraid that feeling irritation and wanting to stand out is a sign of being mean and competitive. And that good little Christian girl is really worried that I might actually be mean and competitive as a person out there in the world. Because Jesus told us to love each other, and because nobody likes a bossy girl. So she is hyper-vigilant about scolding the other two parts. And she tells those parts that it is not okay to want things in a particular way or to be recognized as smart. She tells them that if they say something to another member of the group, voicing a disagreement or a suggestion, that the other person will probably feel hurt. So they just need to keep it to themselves and smile and nod. And here's the thing about scolding. It breeds resistance. You can only be scolded for so long before you start to push back, sometimes in a really big way. So that week, during the training program, the two parts that struggle with group situations got activated. And then the good Christian part started to panic and scold. In reaction, the initial two parts did not like being called mean and competitive, and they started to get even more activated, more impatient with the people in the room, more judgmental, more irritated that no one was noticing all they had been doing to keep the group on task. When a feeling or a behavior is forbidden, it has a habit of getting bigger to demand attention. And as those parts in me got bigger, so did the scolding Christian part, who started telling the other parts that the people in the room were finding it hard to like me because I was difficult and I did not know how to play nice. On day 4 of the training, I woke up in the morning aware of feeling like I had blown it in yet another group process by being mean and competitive. That was the story I was telling myself. But then I asked myself, is that a true story? And I invited my soul, that part of me that does listen for God, to shed some light on the situation. And that's when I realized the presence of these internal parts with different agendas, fighting an internal war, seeking control. It is not true that I am a mean person. I am a person who can get overwhelmed and who sometimes gets irritated in a group situation. And I am a person who really wants to be kind to others and will work quite hard to say difficult things in a respectful way. These things do not have to be in conflict, but because of past experiences of pain, because of how I was socialized, and because of old stories I have about myself, there are these internal parts that sometimes get activated and then war with each other. That's actually when I start to do the things I do not want to do, that are out of alignment with my intentions. So that day when I woke up and realized I had this internal battle over a tendency to get impatient, a desire to make a mark, and an intention to be a nice person, I decided to share that struggle with the group. Everyone was surprised because they hadn't actually experienced me as bossy or mean. They experienced me as someone who was respectful when disagreeing, someone who made meaningful contributions. When hidden inside, my internal struggle created distance and resulted in behaviors that could have led to the very isolation I secretly feared. Because at the heart of that internal struggle was fear. Brought out into the light, that struggle dissolved, and I suddenly felt more connected and part of the group. It completely changed my experience of the others from that point on. When we try to control or hide what we think is broken in us, it tends to get even more prominent. But when we can see it with some compassion and bring it into the light, that's when God can do something extraordinary with our broken parts. When we do not do what we want, but the things we hate, that is a time for self-compassion and for inviting Jesus to loosen our burden as he has promised to do. It involves allowing ourselves to be human, not superhuman, in need of the care and guidance God offers. We are complex humans with internal conflicting parts that are rooted in aspects of our story, parts that want to be acknowledged, not controlled. And Jesus says, "I am not afraid of your internal complexity." If you can learn to witness that internal struggle with compassion, my grace will have more room to do its work and bring you freedom. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light.